This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. We have a lot to get to tonight. We're only on till 7:30. At 7:30, you'll hear Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics and the Heat, right here on ESPN 1000. The Heat lead the series 2-1. You know, watching that game, Game 3 of that series, I was surprised at how much more athletic the Celtics seemed in Game 3. The ability to play the passing lanes, get out in the open court, finish layups, finish dunks, and really just kind of take advantage of like a slower plodding Miami Heat team in the second half, where, you know, Jimmy Butler has had a great playoff run, a great bubble run so far for the Heat, and it seems as if he's working so hard on the defensive end because Jason Tatum is fantastic. And Jaylen Brown is really good. He had a great game in Game 3. And I don't know if the Heat have an answer for Kemba Walker. And I know that the Heat are up 2-1. But I think tonight you're going to see another strong showing from the Celtics.
I think that if you look at the Celtics, they're obviously the more complete team. You know, they have more talent than the Heat do. I think that they're more well-rounded. They're better on defense. I think they've got more guys that can show up night in and night out. But the bubble's different. The bubble has been different. No travel. You know, everybody's well rested. Everybody's playing well. You know, there's something about Jimmy Butler just keeping them in games. Tonight is the least confident I've been about any of these first three games.
I like the Heat. I like the Celtics. I like watching both teams play. Mm-hmm. But after watching this series to this point, is Roderick Jane still in the Twitch chat?
Let's see. Roderick, he's still in there. Yeah, Roderick's
Twitch chat,
still in there.
ESPN 1000 Chicago. Mm-hmm. If you're watching the show on Twitch.
Shut up.
If you're listening to us, we appreciate it. You know, watch your baseball games. Put them on mute. Listen to Black and Abdallah. We'll let you know what's going on throughout
we'll
the evening.
Yeah, keep you abreast of the situation.
So Roderick in the chat a little bit ago was wondering why I made the comments during Waddle and Sylvie that I thought that neither of the teams in the East could win the title. And, you know, this is something that I had ready to go and I wanted to talk to you about on Monday. We just didn't have time. Don't start with that.
I got a LeBron thought.
Airports. He's like LAX. He's doing the
thing
counter.
Is Eric Ostrowski producing the show tonight.
I could hear Eric.
I thought he was
going to
get mad at me. He was like, "Don't start with me there tonight." I thought he was scolding me for doing it. For doing the Blex got a Cowherd thought on the Lakers.
Well,
Let's do this.
This is my thought.
You know, when you start a Fortune 500 company,
coffee has a change. I was there at Starbucks early on.
Celebrities, better living.
So the thing with Justin Bieber and LeBron James. So what I was thinking of, I'm watching these games from both conferences. Because, like, right now, we have so much sports to consume.
Yeah.
So, like, on Sunday, I went back and I watched the first three games of the East Finals and the West, and the first two games of the West Finals.
There's
right?
football on Sunday. What are you doing to yourself?
I watched football. It was at night.
Okay.
And also, I didn't work during the day on Monday, and I did some of this on Monday.
That's true.
So I caught up on it. And the one thing that, here's the conclusion why I wanted to mention Roderick, because I wanted to answer his question. The conclusion I had from watching these games is that there is only one team in the conference finals right now that's worthy of being a champion. Now, this isn't to say that my prediction is, well, this is what's going to happen. Or if the Heat or Celtics win a championship, yeah, I get it. It can happen. But to me, it doesn't seem like when you watch these two teams play, the Heat and the Celtics, they don't seem championship worthy. They're both missing a piece or two, which in normal years would be right on par with championship level teams. You know, like you watch the Celtics, and I listed off Brown and Tatum and Kemba. They also really don't have any inside presence whatsoever. And I get it, there's a perimeter game now in the league. But still, like, seems a bit flimsy. The Heat, Jimmy Butler, Hero, you know, Bam. Yeah, okay. Is that really a championship-level team? So then you flip over to the West and you say, okay, like, the Nuggets are fun. They're not a championship-worthy team. The Nuggets? Like, I get it. Last year, Toronto with Kawhi Leonard was a bit of a fluke team to win a title, but it was still with Kawhi Leonard. The Nuggets are not a championship quality team. They beat the Lakers last night. It's now a 2-1 series. So, like, this is the conclusion that I came to watching these conference finals games, is that the Lakers are the only team that is championship worthy. And if they don't win the championship, this will haunt LeBron James' legacy. You know, think about it. There's no Giannis, the best player in the league, back-to-back MVPs. There's no Kawhi, the Terminator, who is a robot that just wins championships and excels in pressure situations. There's no Warriors, which, by the way, if the Warriors were in this bubble healthy, woo, there's no chance that they're not winning the title. Like, let's be real. With the four teams that are left, Golden State is probably still the best team without Kevin Durant. And, oh, yeah, by the way, there's no Kevin Durant this season. On the other side, you got a team that's led by Jamal Murray and Jimmy Butler. The Lakers were the best team in the West. LeBron was second in the MVP voting. Anthony Davis is an all-NBA player who is a runner-up to Defensive Player of the Year, who's having one of his best seasons. And in this bubble, they have excelled when some of the other teams who played well before they got to the bubble struggled, like the Bucks. So when I watch the conference finals, there's, to me, only one conclusion, is that the Lakers have to win the title. And any other option is going to be marked with an asterisk as a goofy bubble championship in this strange 2020 season. You see what I'm saying? Like the Celtics or the Heat or the Nuggets, it just doesn't hit right. Like champions, like, yes, they can certainly do it. I'm not discrediting that they can't do it. I'm just saying, like, when you look back on it, they're the Lakers are the only team that won't get the asterisk label when they win the title, because it's LeBron and he's expected to be the best, and AD is there.
Chris, let me take you back to 2008.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time. Okay?
Sure.
There were a lot of things we could do as a society.
Yeah.
Right? We could go to concerts.
Right.
We could go to games.
You could go to airports.
You could go to airports. You could fly. You could go to movies.
Yeah.
And in 2008, Daniel Day-Lewis was nominated for There Will Be Blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was up against George Clooney for Michael Clayton, Johnny Depp for Sweeney Todd, Tommy Lee Jones for In the Valley of Ella. I didn't even see that movie. And Viggo Mortensen for Eastern Promises.
You should have probably workshopped this before.
I workshopped this in my brain.
With joy.
And this is fine. You just need to listen to my point.
I know.
My point is this. We all went into that Oscars knowing that it was Daniel Day-Lewis's. Like, write the speech, put it in your pocket, act humble, and say something important about young actors or whatever, right? And that's what Daniel Day-Lewis did. He walked away. And if Viggo would have won, if Tommy Lee Jones would have won, if Johnny Depp would have won, if George Clooney would have won, we would have been like, whoa, fluky. What's going on? The fix is in.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
So, listen, LeBron, AD, they're Daniel Day-Lewis right now. There will be blood. They're drinking milkshakes. Left and right.
I'll drink your milkshake.
And that's what they're doing.
Right.
And you're right. If one of the other teams comes out of this bubble with the NBA championship, their Academy Award, fluke. Fluke year.
I see.
Bubble year.
I told you on Monday night this was good.
Bubble year. But you didn't know I was bringing this heat, did you?
You're going to agree. This is pretty good.
It's okay. I mean, if you would have had a little thing with it like I did, I mean, it might have been better.
No,
but
I was just giving you a sports thought.
I'm relating it to life.
I agree. If you're drinking a milkshake, you're right.
You're going to win best actor. Of course you are. You should. You're Daniel Day freaking Lewis.
Right.
You're drinking milkshakes left and right.
Now, on the flip side, if LeBron and the Lakers don't win this title,
whoa,
get out of here with this comparing to Jordan thing. You think Jordan would lose in a bubble? If they said lock all the players in one spot and Michael's not coming out on top, you're telling me that that would be a thing?
You know why Jordan would win? You know why Jordan would win? Because Jordan in this bubble would have every player up till 6 a.m.
playing cards. And then he would
race them the next day. Yes.
It'd be great.
Boat race and be like, yeah, we got a game tomorrow. No, what do you mean you're walking away? You're walking away? All right, fine. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, wait. I'll see you today.
by the way, 6 a.m. tee time. We're going to play 36 because we got all these courses right here.
We're going fishing, pregame, no practice, no meeting.
And that stocked bass pond. We're going to go over there and check that out.
Sleep.
All right. Now the Twitch chat is like, now they're arguing whether or not Giannis is the best player. I don't think Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the league.
They're not listening to us. Yes, they were talking NBA while we were doing the baseball show. Now they're talking about Giannis and LeBron. Now,
I don't think Giannis is the best player. I'm just saying it's what people think. He's the best player in the league. He's won two MVPs back-to-back. All right, that's all I'm saying. It's good stuff. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Do you want to hear from Adrian Wojnarowski coming up next on Billy Donovan being hired by the Bulls as their next head coach?
Yes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Airports. D-Money on Twitter asks, Giannis or Jokic, who is better this year?
Giannis.
What's your opinion?
Giannis.
Please and thanks.
Don't do that. Giannis. God bless the Chicago Fire for the MLS overs, man. Just God bless the Chicago
Fire.
Jokic
is still playing.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah, right. Giannis doesn't have Jamal Murray to help him.
I'm just being argumentative.
Yeah, don't be.
All right.
Don't come at me with your with anti-Daniel Day-Lewis takes.
I'm not being anti-Daniel Day-Lewis. In fact, I appreciate that you went to Daniel Day-Lewis.
Who else am I going to go to?
Name
an actor who you know when they do something is instantly nominated.
Meryl Streep.
Actor.
You really want to go down this road?
No, she is an actor.
Yeah.
I understand that. I understand that. But Meryl Streep has also done other movies where she doesn't get nominated for. She has some duds. That's what I'm saying.
I've seen him. He's very selective.
He's done like seven.
I didn't mean actor or actress.
I meant actor. He is an actor.
She'll do more popcorn flicks.
That's what I'm talking about. She'll do the one with Jack Nicholson about them being old and now they're.
That's a great movie.
I don't think that's her anyway.
It's a great movie. Yes, it is.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. My point is that I meant actor.
No. It's not Jack. It's with Baldwin.
Yes.
And that's a great movie.
I meant actor, a thespian.
And they get back together, and then it's like you're back together with your ex. Is it really like? It's a good movie. Don't look at us like that, Eric. You'll enjoy it.
Now that I just pulled it up, I remember seeing it. Yes, it's complicated.
That's what I'm talking about. It's complicated. Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't have an it's complicated.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe he should. Maybe he should have like a rom-com and a dog movie.
The dude is literally living in that cabin from the, what's the one about the guy that sews?
The Shining?
No, the guy that sews.
I don't know.
What's the one he just did?
It's a Paul Thomas Anderson film.
What's the movie he just did?
Yeah.
What's the one?
Okay. We're going to listen to, you can look that up while we listen to Adrian Wojnarowski. He was on this
morning. Phantom Thread.
Yes. With Keyshawn, Zubin, and Jay Will here on ESPN 1000. Talking about the Bulls hiring Billy Donovan. Fantastic news yesterday. We talked about it a lot. Here's Woj on the hiring of Donovan to the Bulls.
So when Billy Donovan walked away from the Oklahoma City job, Arturis Karnisovas, the new executive VP in Chicago, wanted to meet with him right away. They were waiting to see if he would pry loose from the Thunder. And Karnisovas flew down to Florida to Billy Donovan's home, met with him just a few days after that. And really started to try to sell him on the idea, get to know him. They didn't know each other very well. Two former Big East guys, but from a little different eras. And, you know, Chicago had interviewed a number of guys, but I think for the Bulls, think a big part of this was to have somebody who had done this job before. You can go back through the Bulls' run of coaches here, and you've seen, you know, a lot of, you know, either assistant coaches promoted, college coaches moved up, but not NBA head coaches. And I think bringing somebody in to sort of just bring a baseline of a program there, and I think you see an opportunity with the Bulls, with the talent they have, that this should be a team competing to be in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. There's no reason, when you look at the group of Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine and Wendell Carter and sort of that younger group there, that has there's some talent there. And so they really hit it off, both Donovan and Karnišević. Mark Eversley, who is the GM, works in the front office with Arturas, and they hit it off. And I think the idea of that marketplace in Chicago, and, you know, like Jay said coming in, I think Chicago should be in the conversation with big free agents. There's no reason the Chicago Bulls shouldn't be part of that. But to get your organization to that, like, being in a big market's not enough. New York has shown that. You know, the LA teams, when they weren't run well, showed that. You don't, big free agents don't just show up. And I think there's a hope there that Billy Donovan can, you know, start to develop the group they have, but just bring a baseline of, we've got a head coach, we've got someone who's coach of the year, who's been in the playoffs every year. And so I think for both sides, the fit really worked.
So that's Woj this morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Mornings here on ESPN 1000. Listen, I think the way Woj kind of tells you the details and how Karnišević went into this, finding his guy, seeing someone come onto the market, changing his path. They interviewed a whole bunch of assistant coaches, all the names that were floated out there, the Wes Unseld Jr., the Darvin Hams, all the names they interviewed, they checked it out, but someone who came along who's a bigger fish, who has a proven track record, they went out and got. And I'm happy that they did so. That's why I was surprised to hear Jay Will this morning not be so positive on the Bulls hiring Donovan. Did you hear this earlier today?
Yeah, I heard it. Mm-hmm.
So here's Jay Will on the same show before they talk to Woj, talking about his thoughts on the Bulls hiring Donovan.
Jay's Bulls have hired Billy Donovan. Jay, not too high. We'll go, man.
I'm okay. I'm not elated. I'm not angry. I'm right down the middle.
What was there that would have had you standing up on a chair?
Sam Cassell. I mean, Ty Lue.
Okay,
Jackson, maybe.
So rather than microwave guys like that, which means reheat coaches, put them in the microwave and reheat them, you rather see some fresh blood.
Isn't that Ty Lue?
Yeah, I sometimes think it's time for that in the league. You see so many guys. It's like we're going to see Mike D'Antoni with another job.
So let right? the
Philadelphia.
Let
the,
see, and that's where Jay Will, like, his take is completely based on the idea that other coaches have got second opportunities. Like, not based on Donovan's specific situation.
Yeah. He wanted a fresh face. But that's the problem. The Bulls needed a legitimate head coach. The Bulls needed someone with coaching pedigree. The Bulls didn't need the next guy. The Bulls needed someone that's been there and done it before to build up this young core. That's how I feel, at least.
Yeah, and I think Bulls fans should be happy about
Absolutely.
This.
The Bulls got a guy who has gravitas in the league, who's people in the league he taught these college athletes, like Bradley Beal's glowing about him. So, like, it opens up so many more avenues and windows by having this experienced guy who's liked around the NBA.
Yep, and so hopefully going on forward for the Bulls, now they can build up and they can actually win. Before we go tonight, thank you to Eric Ostrowski, and download the podcast of Bleck and Abdallah and the Baseball Show on the ESPN Chicago app. We need to mention the Bears Hall of Famer, running back Gil Sayers, dies at the age 77. Sayers, considered one of the greatest running backs in NFL history, despite his career being cut short by knee injuries. He's been battling dementia. He was known as the Kansas Comet. Sayers was voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1977, despite playing only 7 seasons, all with the Bears. At 34, he was the youngest player ever inducted into Canton, Ohio. And to be honest, if you go and look at his Pro Football Reference page, if you're a young guy and you're like 7 seasons, he really only played 5. He got into the Hall of Fame by playing five stellar seasons for the Chicago Bears. Gale Sayers today passes at 77.
Five-time All-Pro, like you said. He led the league in rushing in 1969 after tearing his ACL and MCL in his right knee in the previous season. And then he had that major injury in 1970, and he couldn't come back from that, so he retired in 71.
So Sylvie sent this to us earlier today. We didn't get it in on Waddle and Sylvie, but I thought it was worthy of playing. A Football Life from NFL Network had an episode with Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus. And this is the part of the episode where they talk about Gale Sayers' legendary day, scoring six touchdowns against the San Francisco 49ers December 12th, 1965.
After an 0-3 start, the star rookies led Chicago to wins in eight of their next nine. Playoff hopes were still alive when they faced the 49ers in December.
The day of the game, very, very rainy, and I don't like to play in wet weather because anything can happen. You can slip and pull a muscle. There's so many things that you can't do on a wet day. But that particular day, everything went right for Gale Sayers. It seemed like everything I did was right. The 49ers were slipping, the rest of the Bears were slipping, but Gale just walked through everybody.
With that game just 2 minutes old and the field slick from rain, Gale Sayers sprints past the prospectors for an 80-yard screen pass, touchdown run.
The greatest performance in the National Football League history was that performance. And you had to be there to see it. But when you're on the field and part of it, it was even more exciting, believe me.
Game is based on transcendent players. There's some guys, some players who just stand above. They're not in the same universe with him. It gives you chills because you actually become part of, it's like you're riding on his back and I can't be stopped. All you other guys, you may be NFL players, but you're just clowns. You're just highway cones for this guy to run around.
After his fifth touchdown, Sayers was taken out. But late in the game, he and Butkus were sent back in on the punt return team.
You know, they moved me from, you know, the center guy of the five up front. That was my job. And then I'd try to block him, and then I'd circle around. A lot of times I banged into him coming back this way. I'm trying to peel off. So then they moved me out of there, get his ass out of there, and get him back in the wedge.
Every time I went out there for a punt return or a kickoff return, hey, I'm going to get some yards. Simple as that. To me, it wasn't a problem. It's, hey, kick me the ball, please.
As the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch him now. Sayers, NFL Rookie of the Year. A one-man Gale. Dashing 85 dazzling yards on the longest punt return of the season. Here he is, galloping Gale, carrying the mail.
On the film, you can see me like 20 yards behind him, watching him. There was nobody around, no one to block. He just blew right through everybody. What got me was when the offense got down to the 2 yard line, and they pulled Gale and put in John Arnett. He should have scored 7. For him, it would have been great to see.
If I scored 15 touchdowns, hey, it wouldn't be for me, it's for the team. Pretty good football game, you know. And I did my thing, you know. So.
On the same day that Sayers scored 6 touchdowns in the mud, the Packers' Paul Hornung scored 5 in a Baltimore fog. Green Bay won the division. And what would become a dismal and frustrating pattern, Butkus and Sayers missed the playoffs.
Gale Sayers gone at 77. He scored 6 touchdowns December the 12th, 1965. Game 4, Celtics Heat next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.